This message is provided by Bridgeway Community Church. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, good morning, church. It's so good to be here with you this morning on week two of our brand new series called Brainwashed. If you were here with us last week, then you saw Pastor Ron kick us off in this brand new series in a great way. And this series, here's what this series is all about. It's all about five different toxic conversations that we have with ourselves, or it's about five different mindsets that we all have, or at least we have some of them that we would consider to be toxic or not great. And so I have the pleasure of bringing week two of this series this morning, and the title of this series alone had me thinking this week about things that, I don't know, that maybe as I think back, what are some things that I may have been brainwashed by? Now, something I've got to admit about myself growing up is that when I was elementary school and then especially into middle school and the high school, I would have considered myself a little bit of a gamer, meaning I loved playing video games. And here's the deal. I loved a few video games a whole lot. There were a couple games that had me incredibly hooked, but none for me were more fun than this one game in particular. And let me do this. I'm actually going to show you. Some of you might know what this is. Does anybody remember this little thing right here? This little plastic guitar. This was a game called Guitar Hero. And for me, this was something that, man, if I had only spent as many hours practicing on a real guitar as I had practiced on this guitar, I'd be the next Eric Clapton, I think. So, but here's the deal. I look back at myself, and I look back at something that I think I was brainwashed by to a certain degree. And, it's funny because for some reason, not only was I brainwashed to believe that this was the best video game ever created, but I also think I was brainwashed to think that playing a plastic guitar was really cool. And so I spent a lot of time practicing this. Bear with me. I want to throw this on here for a second. I want you to ask yourself the question. I don't understand why you guys are laughing right now. I want you to ask yourself the question. Have I ever done something just to try to make myself look cool or good in front of other people? I want you to think on your own life. Have you ever done something to make yourself look good or to look cool in front of other people? For me, I'll never forget this. Again, I played Guitar Hero way too much as a teenager. And at the time that this was like my number one video game of all time, I was dating this girl in high school. You've heard from me multiple times. Ended up becoming my wife, Dana. And I'll never forget one time she came over to my parents' house to hang out and watch a movie. But before we started a movie, I was like, now is my time to shine. And I made sure, I was like, you're going to want to sit down for this. And I started up a game of Guitar Hero, and I picked what I thought was like the coolest song I could play. And I spent so much time in this game that I tried to go through every single song and play it until I could complete it on the hardest difficulty. And so I started up this song called LaGrange from ZZ Top, and I started playing this for her, as if I was serenading her with an actual guitar. And yet, here comes the best part. As I'm playing this for her, and she's sitting behind me with what I can only imagine is just like, you know, the highest level of adoration for me, I decide, you know what, here's where I kick it up to the next level. And as you typically would play and watch these notes hit the screen, I did this cool little move in the middle of the song where I spun around and I continued to play the song with my back to the screen, not missing a single note. Total nerd move, right? And I know you're thinking the same thing that I knew in that moment, and that it's that Dana's palms must have been so sweaty as she watched me play this plastic guitar. And it was probably not the coolest thing I ever did, but the lamest thing I've ever done. And yet, somehow, some way, I think I have this ring on my finger to prove that it worked, my friends. And so I look back at that and I go, man, I was not, you know, going to miss out on an opportunity to try to make myself look good or cool in front of somebody else. And so I want to say this morning. I believe this, that trying to look good or trying to look cool in front of other people is normal because we all want to look good, don't we? And we don't set out to show the worst versions of ourselves, although I think unintentionally that's what I was doing in that moment. We don't set out to show the worst versions of ourselves. We actually want to put our best foot and our best face forward. And I believe that's something called this. It's called managing your image. We all try to do it to some extent. We try to manage our image, which is doing whatever we possibly can to make sure that the best parts of ourselves are visible and our less likable parts are carefully hidden. And as crazy as that sounds, I think we all kind of get it. Because everyone around us is thinking about managing their image in some way or another. Now, I want you to think back to when you were growing up and you were in school, whether it's elementary school, middle school, high school. In some ways, school sometimes felt like it was about 5% academics, 5% social life, and 90% trying not to look bad. It's why some kids ask their moms to drop them off like two blocks before they're actually at the school, on their way to school, getting dropped off at school. Or it's why the idea of leaving for school with a giant zit on your nose made people want to crawl into a hole. Or it's why we get nervous like performing or playing in front of other people. It's kind of like we all have one of these, this applause meter for our own lives as we walk around and interact with people. It's like we have this mental scoring system, and we're always trying to guess how other people are ranking us. Like, is it wah, yay, or is it wah, wah? Like, we're walking around, I think, at times with this applause meter trying to prove something to other people. And here's the truth this morning. It's that this isn't just a growing up thing. And here's another truth for you. Image management isn't just about how we look on the outside either. It's about how we allow other people to make us feel on the inside as well. And so there's the potential that we can carry this into adulthood, and it can become a driving factor for a particularly unhealthy mindset and an unhealthy heart. And so a key scriptural reminder this morning that I want to hit comes from the book of 1 Samuel. Now, I'm going to set this up for you a little bit. In the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16, this guy named Samuel gets a message from God that he is supposed to find the next ordained king to take the place of King Saul. And so Samuel, like, works for Saul, works under Saul, and now he gets this message from God, like, hey, I need you to go and find this particular family because the next anointed king comes from this family line. And so Samuel sets out kind of on this secret mission to find this guy named Jesse and see if one of his sons is the next anointed king. And when he first arrives to Jesse's home, he sees this one son of his in particular named Eliab. And as he sees him, he's thinking to himself, oh, this has got to be the guy. Just by looking at this guy, this has got to be the son of Jesse's who's the next anointed king. And this is where I want to pick up in scripture with you. It's 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, and it says this. As Samuel is looking on at this particular son, it says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And so if we're keeping score here, if we as humans look on the outside, then that means that we're probably motivated by the outside as well. Meaning we all try to manage what people think of us. But just because we all do that to different extents doesn't mean that it's not exhausting. You see, image management is a full-time job. And no matter how good you are at it, it still will always feel like it's out of reach. And usually at the end of the day, we all just end up feeling tired from it. And so why are we talking about this constant battle to manage how people see us this morning? Well, it's because it's one of our five toxic thought patterns that we're talking about in this series. And I believe this one in particular can crush us. Here's a sneak peek at where we're going, and it's this. It's that very few things will threaten the freedom God calls us to live with, quite like image management. It leads to all sorts of things. The comparison game, valuing ourselves based on like an unfair system. You see, image management is the opposite of freedom. Freedom is the ability to act without restriction. Now, just so we're clear, though, I'm not saying that God just wants us to do like whatever the heck we want to do or whatever makes us happy. That's not the case, because clearly he calls us to do things that we don't want to do all the time, that takes us out of our comfort zones. Like, that is a fact of following God, ladies and gentlemen. That is just a fact of following God. He's going to call us out of our comfort zones. But as it pertains to this topic, when we're constantly working around the need for approval, we're not free. We're actually this thing called needy. We're needy. And we're giving in to this needy talk in our own heads. Pastor Ron actually set this up really well for us last week when he spoke into this particular one a little bit, when he said that it's okay that people like you, but it's not okay when you need people to like you. You see, when we find ourselves having this needy talk in our own heads, then our need for approval is controlling us, and we're not living into the freedom God calls us to. And our need to manage our image makes us slaves, because we start thinking, what do I have to do to get that person to like me? What do I have to do to get that person to accept me? What do I have to do to get that person to include me? And at times we'll just run with that. We'll just run away with that. And so I want to refer to another specific passage this morning in Scripture that the Apostle Paul writes to the Galatians, and particularly to the church in Galatia. You see, Paul had poured his heart into the Galatians and was teaching them the way of Jesus. So when other people came around and started teaching them something that was nowhere near the true message of Jesus, Paul took it personally. And so he was super clear in his letter to the Galatians in order to set the record straight. And this is what he says in Galatians 1, verses 6 and 7. He says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Those are pretty direct words there, aren't they? But now I want you to look and see what Paul goes on to say a couple verses later. In verse 10, Paul says this, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. You see, Paul had a decision to make. Did he care more about managing what other people thought about him? Or did he want people to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the real message of Jesus, a message of freedom and grace, was the message that was being preached? Basically, it was a decision between working for the approval of people or the approval of God. AKA, am I going to prioritize pleasing people or following Jesus? And there's a ton of unhealthy characteristics that come with people pleasing. like sacrificing your principles to fit in with a certain person or a certain crowd, or becoming so non-confrontational to the point of letting people just walk all over you, or not knowing when to say no or how to set boundaries. These are all characteristics that come with people-pleasing. But Paul wasn't falling for that. Paul was more concerned with what he thought was right by God than what people would say or think about him. That's not to say that our reputation, that your reputation doesn't matter, but it means that your resume should reflect someone trying to follow Jesus more than someone trying to follow people. Paul was basically saying this. He was saying that there's a difference between caring about something and being controlled by it. There's a difference between caring about something and being controlled by that something. And that small difference is what kept Paul from being controlled by whether or not people approved of him. Because Paul knew that people who truly know freedom live for God, not for the approval of others. That free people live for him, not for them. And yet that's hard to do. It truly is. That's a hard thing to do. And sometimes we might not even realize when we're managing our image in an unhealthy way. But if we don't realize it, let me be really practical this morning. I'm going to give you a couple indicators that we might be doing this, that we might be trying to manage our image in an unhealthy way. Here's the first one. If you're willing to do something when people are around that you wouldn't do alone, then maybe you're trying to manage your image in an unhealthy way. If what other people say or think immediately changes how you feel, then maybe you're allowing people to speak into your life in an unhealthy way and you're managing your image in that way. If you feel like you're living different lives depending on the group of people you're with, then maybe you're trying to manage your image in an unhealthy way. Last one here, if there's a church version of you, a work version of you, and a home version of you, then once again, maybe you're trying to manage your image in an unhealthy, toxic way, in a way where you're trying to people please more than you're trying to please God with your life. Yet, church, to follow Jesus is to be set apart. You see, when we aim to please people, we become a product of the people, a product of the world. But when we aim to please God, we become more like Jesus. Have you ever cared so much about another person's opinion that you were actually willing to take bad advice from them? I can think of so many times that I've just willingly accepted bad advice from people. One of them was, I'm going to rapid fire some of these examples in my own mind out of here. I remember being in elementary school near the end of it in sixth grade, and I was a decently athletic kid. I loved sports, and so I had a ton of my friends who were like, hey, you should play football. We need you on the football team. You should play. Here was my stat line at the end of my one season playing football. I played tight end on offense. I had 0 receptions for 0 yards, and I had 1 rush for -5 yards. I lost yardage on my one play where I got the ball. I was awful at football, and I listened to the bad advice of all my friends who were like, you'd be really good at football. Man, I remember also being in elementary school, and I had a neighborhood friend come over from down the street, and I had not yet seen the movie A Christmas Story at this point in my life, and it was winter, and we were outside, and he was like, hey, you should stick your tongue to that frozen pole, and I was like, that doesn't sound that bad, and he assured me, it's not that bad, and so I did it, and I basically played out just like it does in that movie, right? I had to get a cup of warm water to get myself released from the pole. I mean, I had somebody at some point in time tell me, listen, I know you like pizza, so I think you should try this great pizza. It's called Hawaiian pizza, and it's pineapple that's on pizza. And I tried that, and I found out I should never follow that person's bad advice. No, that's a sin is what it is. It's sinful. It's really, it's the forbidden fruit if you think about it. I mean, there's all sorts of bad opinions that we have been that we've allowed ourselves to follow. As a matter of fact, you want real proof of it. All you got to look at is all you got to realize is that country music is popular, you know. And a hush falls over the crowd. Listen, this is my opinion. Maybe I have the bad opinion on that one, okay? Let me give you this last one. At some point in time, I believe somebody's good advice when they told me this would be a good haircut. Like over and over and over again have I followed bad advice, you know, at different points in my life, right? Like we do this. Somehow the middle part, it's coming back. It's a thing again. But here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to reflect on. In the midst of realizing that, okay, maybe we've been willing to follow bad advice. I want you to reflect on this by asking yourself this question. When I'm unsure of how to navigate something, do I prioritize seeking the opinions of people over seeking the counsel of God? Do I immediately run to catch other people's takes before I sit before God in prayer and rest in his wisdom? Do I feel the need to instantaneously call other people when I want advice or guidance? And if I do, why? What is it about seeking the validation of people that outweighs the wisdom of God for us? I've done this. What is it about us that wants the opinions of others to inform our decisions, to inform our thinking, to inform our habits? Why do we need to fall in line with the top answer in Family Feud instead of standing out and standing firm with the wisdom of God? I'll tell you what it is. It's a lack of faith that God has our best interest in mind, and it's a desire to blend in with the crowd. We're told by our culture to live in the moment. And so we settle for momentary approval, worldly affirmation, instead of the eternal approval of seeking out God's will for our lives. And the truth is this. The truth is if we're seeking affirmation from the world, then we'll always be let down or disappointed. Check this out. Jesus said this in John 16, verse 33. He says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart because I have overcome the world. You see, you and I as humans, we're created with a longing for fulfillment, with a thirst for something or someone more that's greater than ourselves. And church, we know this, but I'm going to tell it to us again this morning. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life that we're searching for. But when we aim to please people and seek the approval of man and woman over God's approval, the harsh truth is that we're telling God that he's not enough. We're telling God that he's not enough. That his love isn't enough. That his word isn't enough. That his grace isn't enough. That his power isn't enough. That his wisdom isn't enough. That his promise isn't enough. That for some reason, our heart still craves earthly approval. And I'll tell you, that reason is sin. It's the lie of the enemy that goes all the way back to the garden when Satan, embodied as a serpent, essentially tells Eve that God alone isn't enough for her and that she needs more and that she needs the wisdom that God isn't willing to give her. And truthfully, you and I today, we struggle with the same temptation of believing that God isn't enough and that we need the approval of all the people around us to feel confident, to feel justified, to feel validated, to feel qualified. And yet Jesus' disciple Philip says this in John 14, 8. Philip says, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. Show us the Father and that will be enough for us, Lord. Church, that if God is all you have, then you have all you need. That Paul says to the church in Philippi, in Philippians 4, verse 19, says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Church, somewhere along the line, we as fallen people, we get tempted to believe that we need everyone to like us. And when we need everyone to like us, it's no longer God's voice that we're listening for. And we start to actively drown out God's voice with the voices of substitutionary popular opinion. And if it's not clear enough already, here's why that matters, church. It matters because you weren't created to be controlled by anything. See, Jesus wants us to experience freedom. And free people don't live with every action being controlled by what others see and what others say and what others think about them. Here's the deal, though. This isn't saying, I'm not telling you this morning to just ignore all truth. Sometimes people around us, they represent and they speak real truth in our lives, and we're called to bring it before God and decipher its authenticity, but we're not talking about that this morning. We're talking about being controlled by a longing for acceptance by the people that we don't answer to when our lives come to an end. And when we throw our lot in with people over God, we end up disappointed and unfulfilled. Hear me out, church. This isn't a message of paranoia this morning. This isn't a message of paranoia telling you not to trust people. It's a message encouraging you to figure out how to trust God the most. That we were created with a void that can be filled by God as our creator and not man or woman as our contemporaries. And then through that lens, we can more clearly see other people, how God created us to see them. I can see clearly now because of God. I can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way because of God and through Christ Jesus. Church, imagine how different your life would be if you didn't feel the pressure to manage your image all the time or get the approval of others. What would it look like if you started to live as though you believed what God has done for you is enough, and no one can add to that and no one could take away from that? How many hours would you get back? How much less stress, less fake, less tired, and less worried would you be? And imagine how much more joy and fulfillment you would walk with God, walking with God as your strongest, as your greatest stronghold. Church, I believe that this morning, and I pray that over us this morning, is that we would remember and recognize that God is the greatest stronghold we could ever have. And we can't just hold on to the words of other people all the time and let that inform our every decision and our every direction. And yet God calls us into a life where we step into his word and into his calling and into the way he's speaking into our lives to see how we're supposed to carry ourselves and how we're supposed to seek for him and his voice above any other voice speaking into our lives. So I pray that over all of us. That as we step into our each and every single day, we can remember that God's voice outweighs any other voice there possibly is. And to that I say amen. You guys pray with me this morning as we get ready to worship together some more. Let's pray. God, I am grateful for your voice. For your voice that does speak into our lives in a powerful way. In a powerful way where we can see that God, your voice is the only voice directing our steps, lighting our path. And so God, my prayer this morning is that we would cast aside the voices we've been listening to over and over and over. Maybe it's the voice that tells us we're not good enough. Or maybe it's the voice that tells us that we don't look the right way, that we should look a different way. Or maybe it's the voice that tells us, God, that you're not there. And yet, God, I pray this morning that we would lean into your voice, that we would open our hearts, our minds, our ears, and our souls to the way you're speaking to us in a way that nothing else possibly could. God, if we have the bondage of people-pleasing, God, I pray against that in the name of Jesus. That God, we can step into a life that looks more for the approval of you because you are good than the approval of other people or other things that are just weighing us down and ripping us apart. And so God, I'm grateful for how good you are. And so God, we lean into that this morning. Again, grateful for who you are We praise and worship you right now with our lips and with our hearts, saying how good you are in the name of Jesus. And it's in that name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast today. Check out our app or website at bridgewaycommunity.org for more messages or to take the sermon one step deeper by downloading the sermon discussion guide.